Today's presenter is Richard Marshman. Richard has been a member of the WebSphere Level 2 support organization since February 2003. He has worked on multiple WebSphere components as a subject matter expert, including security, SSL, Java 2 security, administration, synchronization, and application deployment issues. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Richard.
Thank you. Okay, so today we're going over WebSphere Application Server 6.1 Federated Repositories, which is used by the Virtual Member Manager, or implemented by that. I'll go ahead and get right into it. So, going to slide 2, overview, basically we're just going to go over what the Federated Repository is configured with. We'll go over the admin console, just the basic configuration of the Federated Repository. We'll go over some of the user and group management functions that are added at 6.1 with Federated Repository. And just a little over the command line interfaces, WSAdmin for accessing it. And finally, we'll go over just a couple quick troubleshooting issues that for simple problems setting it up. Okay, on to slide 3. And so this is for the overview. So VMM is the Virtual Member Manager. This is the actual underlying code that we use to implement the Federated Repository. So what this does is we only support a single security realm in a cell. We allow then, with the Federated Repository, to use multiple user repositories. If you remember previous versions of WebSphere, you could only have a single LDAP server or custom registry or pointing to the local OS. Now, basically, what we've done is we have have a file-based repository where this is actual files in the configuration that would be synced out to all the nodes, where you can create just users for using in WebSphere. In addition to this, you can have multiple LDAP servers, or you can have an LDAP server with multiple base VNs inside of it. And what we'll do is we'll set all of these up, the file-based repositories and multiple LDAP servers, and in this case, a database repository. And we will sequentially search through each one of these looking for a user for logging in. Additionally, what we've added is user and group management. From the console, there's an area where you can go and you can see all users that would be in all repositories. Additionally, we've added write support so that there is some basic ability to create and change users through the admin console, through WebSphere. Previously, all our repositories were read-only all the time. Okay, going on to slide 5. Okay, so federated capabilities provided by the VMM component, basically managing the users and groups can be done through the admin console, through command line utilities, and we've created a set of public APIs to be able to also manage any users and groups. Again, this is read and write support that we do and allow now. Additionally, we allow authentication within the JAS framework still, and we've also added a completely different subject, access control with the JAX extension, which allows authorization to be performed by an external party. Usually this is in conjunction with TAM. So on the next slide, slide 6, basically, we're just going over again, this uses multiple repositories simultaneously in a realm. Basically, we create a realm. Previous versions, the realm would be set to, say, just the LDAP server name, and there was no way to override this. What we do now, since we're going to have multiple LDAP or file-based or database repositories, we create a single realm. The default WIM file-based realm is the default name. But this can be changed to anything you want at that point, and all users logging in will be part of that realm then. And then the next slide is basically, this is the overview of what we're looking at with VMM management. Basically, the main thing you're looking here is down at the bottom at the repository SPI. This is where the adapters are, where the APIs will be able to access either the file-based repository, the LDAP, the database, or a custom repository. Notice also on the left side here with the user registries, we still allow, remember, you can still have a single LDAP or a custom registry or the local OS. Notice that the local OS is not part of federated repositories. We don't support using local OS as part of this. That would still be under the old model of just using that by itself. And that's basically one of the reasons we've added the file-based repository to add users locally like that. Okay, and on to slide 8. Okay, this is just a little bit of what we do support with file, LDAP, and database. Most of the database configuration has to be done through WSAdmin or the APIs. There's no database configuration in the admin console. And it's showing some of the difference with federated repositories. Simultaneous repository support we have with, and then with the other, as compared to the other registry options, local OS, standalone LDAP, standalone customs, no. With the federated repositories, we allow read-write support, where previously we only allowed read support. And identity profile support is allowed also, but we'll get into that a little bit later. And on slide 9. Okay, this basically is simply going over compatibility about previous versions of local OS, standalone, LDAP, and custom. With the user group management that's been added, only the federated repository is going to be able to take advantage of this. Even though it's in the console with users and groups, none of the functionality will be there if you have a standalone custom registry or LDAP registry. And on to slide 10. Okay, again, with compatibility with migration. When you migrate from version 5 to version 6, 6.1, we're going to keep the previous version of what you had. If you have a mixed version cell where you migrate the deployment manager to 6.1, some of you have other nodes at 6.1, but you also have nodes at 6.0 or version 5, if you set up federated repositories, you can only at that point use a single LDAP in the federated repository. This is due to the previous versions not being able to access multiple LDAP servers. There is going to be a limitation on that. In order to fully use the federated repository functionality, you would need to have the entire cell at version 6.1. Okay, and going on to slide 11 then. Okay, we're going to go and go over some of the admin console configuration of a federated repository here now. And going on to slide 12. This is the main security panel from the admin console. You've probably, if you've seen 6.1 before, you've seen that we have now a security configuration wizard. You can use that to set up federated repositories, or you can manually set it up. And basically what we're looking at here is where you enable administrative security, where this is usually set first. And this is what we're going to be doing in this case. Configuration of LTPA, which not much to that. And then under available realm definitions, this is the new part that we really need to focus on here, is this is where you can choose the previous local OS, standalone LDAP, standalone custom, or we now have the option of federated repository. So at any time, all these are going to be available. What you do is you choose the one that you want to, and then hit the configure button. This lets you go in and set up the configuration. Now, in order to use it, after you've configured it, at this point, what you do is you choose the realm that you want, the federated repository, and you have to click the set as current to make it the current repository that we're going to be using. Okay, and go on to slide 13. And this is the basic federated repository panel here. Notice at the top we have the realm name with the default WIM file-based realm, which we call it by default. You can change this to anything you like, although it generally shouldn't make a difference as long as, all users are going to use it at this point. Now, and then the primary administrative username, this is the same as setting the secure server ID in previous versions. Okay. The automatically generated server identity, this is used at 6.1. If you have a mixed level cell, you have to specify it. This mostly has to do with internal calls from server to server. You really don't see any too much changes on this, but that is a new option, just so you know. And again, we have the ignore case for authorization, which is also available with previous in the LDAP, the standalone LDAP. Now, under here, we have the repositories in realm. Okay? This is where we're going to add all the different repositories that we're going to look through. Right now, on the screen, all we have is that internal file repository, which is there by default. We also have, additional properties. There's some extensive about LDAP attributes, basically. We can go and make some more advanced configuration changes there. So on slide 14, just a little more about the property extensions. Supports the entry-level join of multiple repositories. And some more information about the manage the accounts with the users in groups. This is basically, I'm just going to go back to the previous slide really quick. The supported entity types, this is where you would, if you go into the standalone LDAP, we have filters, the LDAP filters and the advanced LDAP properties. This is basically where you can change those configurations. We don't have, for the federated repositories, it doesn't list out filters like we previously did. It's broken more down into the different entity types, and we use that information in there to construct the LDAP filters during the runtime to do lookups. Okay, and we're going to go on to slide 15 there. Okay, and this is, during the setup, the repository reference. This is where we're setting the initial repository. Okay. Basically, in this case, what a repository is going to be is we set up the LDAP server information previous to this. Then, in this case, we're adding in the repository is going to basically be a base distinguished name to look in that LDAP server. So, in this case, we have LDAP1, which is the server, and then we're going to add distinguished base entry and the base DN, basically, of this U so we can search. Okay? And here we are under the supported entity types of the federated repository. Basically, you can see, you know, the group, the container, and the person account. The person account is sort of like the user filter. In the previous version, you can see we're using the UID here. and the group is like the group filter. So this basically is what the LDAP filters are in the previous LDAP version. Okay. And going to slide 17. And so just the setup for a DB2 or a JDBC database. Basically, we don't see a lot of use of this, but it is possible to add this inside Federated repository as another repository. Okay, and slide 18 is basically the same thing. Sorry. And okay, going on to slide 19 now, we're going to some of the LDAP configuration panels here. And slide 20 here shows, this is managing the repositories. This is under, you see the internal file-based repository. We're also have our LDAP now added to this. Slide 21, this is the repository identifier. This is where we give it a name. There's the LDAP server, the directory type. That's the same as standalone LDAP. And we give it the host name and the port. Now, also, at this point, a new thing we have is for failover support. I know we previously had it at 6.0, but now in the Federated repository, there's an actual area in the console here where you can add your failover hosts for any single LDAP server. We need to, I guess, really quick go over that. Adding the failover host here is just, we look at this first host. If it's not available, then we try the second host. It's not the same as a federated repository. In a federated repository, when we add multiple repositories, we search through each one. If any of those are not available, the search for the user fails. Okay? So there's a difference between the failover and then adding to the federated repository. Right below is another thing that previously we could do, but now we've just added support for it, where we support referrals to other LDAP servers. Previously it was possible to support referrals, but it wasn't really a supported thing. You had to change your JNDI.properties to follow referrals or to ignore them, and ignore was the default. And it still is here, but now we added actual support for that here. Some of the other things is under the additional properties there, we have LDAP performance settings. I think we'll go over that in just a minute. And some of your group attribute definitions. And over on the right there we have, you know, your standard LDAP configuration, your bind, distinguish, name, password, and whether or not to use SSL to that LDAP server. All right, going on to slide 22. And this is basically just a list of supported LDAP servers. With supported LDAP servers and these types that we list there, changing the type really only changes the LDAP filters that we set up by default. Most LDAP servers that conform to any to LDAP standards will work with WebSphere, but these are just the ones we have tested and have definitive support for. Okay, and slide 23. Okay, and we're going to go over some of the user and group management additions that we've added to 6.1 for use with Federated repository. So from the admin console here, you can see under users and groups, the administrative user and groups, we've had those there. We've added the two new fields, manage user and manage groups. Now, when you go into manage users here, at the top it'll have search by, and then you have options of user ID and CN, and after that a filter and the number of results. And when you click search there, basically you're going through the federated repository, and it's going to go through each LDAP server and to that local file-based repository, and it is going to list out all of the users you have here. Now, under that, you have options of create and delete. These are some of the new functions with the write ability. Clicking create, and you can go through, when you create a user, and through the admin console, we only have a couple of fields you can fill in, such as the UID. It's not really meant for setting up complex users. But the functionality through the console is here, and also through the APIs. If you needed to add more features to a user, add different objects to it, you would probably want to do it through the APIs. But creating it here, you actually will be able to create it on the LDAP server. All right, and on the next slide. Okay, and this is just going over a couple of the things I just mentioned in the previous one. Okay, now we're going into the command line interfaces here. So, command line interfaces, basically everything's run through WSAdmin. They do provide additional functionality, like I said, not everything is in the admin console. Some things are going to have to be done through WSAdmin. And these are tasks that were added to the admin task object in WSAdmin. Just a couple of the different commands are the ID manager config, which allows you to do general configuration, ID manager realm config to set to work with the realm, repository config. This is where you would set CLIs for managing a database and custom type repositories, because there is no place in the admin console to add those, so this is how you would do that. And then there's some the WIM management commands, which you can use to manage users and groups through WSAdmin. Okay, and we're going to slide 28. Okay, and this is just going over some of the information we just went. Okay, slide 29. So an example here. We're going to configure a LDAP repository in the VNM realm with admin task command. Basically, update ID manager supported entity type. Inside the admin task, you can also mention previous on the slide to get the help to list out. Usually that's the best way to get information, and you can see all the possible functions that you can do inside each of these commands. And then the second example we have there is creating a LDAP repository. The previous one we had in there, LDAP 1, where the ID, LDAP server type, and then setting basically all the defaults. And then after that, after we create the repository, we're adding hostname, port, bind DN, bind password, and see those options there. Basically the same thing you're doing through the console, but through the command line. Okay, and the next slide. Now, after you add the repository, the repository is basically just what we're looking at for the LDAP server, the host name, port, where to go to access it. Under that, then, we can set multiple base entries for each one, such as, in this case, we're adding, you see, the dash ID for the LDAP one, which is the repository, and then we're adding a base name of O equals IBM C equals US. if I wanted to and I had on this LDAP server, I could add another base DN of, say, O equals IBM, C equals UK. Normally, the only way you'd be able to search through that is by not putting in a base DN. That can cause, everybody knows, that can cause performance problems if you have to search an entire LDAP server. This allows you to specify further down where your users are going to be so that you don't have to search an entire LDAP server. You can split it up into couple separate places, specifying enough of a base DN down to where you're going to be able to find those users a lot more quickly. Also in the example here, I think we're going to changing the realm name from the default WIM file-based realm to WIM realm. And the only time this realm usually will make a difference is if you're trying to do SSO between this cell and another cell that's possibly using a different repository, such as a cell which is using Portal Custom Registry, WMM. They set their realm to like WMM realm, and I think it's where you have to then change the realm for the WebSphere to WMM realm for any other in order to do SSO between the two cells. Okay, and next page. It's another just command you use for base entry. For each base entry you have to do, and then admin config save all the changes. Okay, and next slide, 32. This is with the create user command. Again, we're able to create users actually on LDAP servers at this point. It's just user ID, password, the SN, mail, CN, in this case. And those are the things that basic things you usually need to set when creating an LDAP user. Okay, and going to the next slide, 33, and we're going to get into a few troubleshooting issues here. Okay, main files we're looking at now in the cell name, the security XML, which is the same as it has been, but now there's also a wimconfig.xml file. In the configuration under the cell name, there's a new directory in there called wim. Under there, there's config directory, and there's several files in here, but the main one that we look at is the wimconfig.xml. This is where all your federated repository specific information is going to be. The security XML, really, the only thing with the federated repository you're going to see is where it sets the user repository. We simply tell it to use federated repository. And there is some of the basic information of the administrative user ID, like that, same as you would get mostly for an LDAP server. But all the other underlying information, such as the object types and the different repositories that you've added under there, are all going to be in that wimconfig.xml. So, the active user registry, okay, so this is the WIM user registry one. That's what we call it by default. And you'll see that information there. And then we have the internal file-based repository. This is where you're actually going to have local users. Since they're in the config directory in this file registry.xml file, if you have multiple nodes, when you synchronize, this file gets pushed across, so we will keep the users the same between different cells. I know with previously we had for custom user registry for just creating small files locally, you had to take care of every time you made a change to a user, you had to copy that file over to all the nodes. But now we're actually going to be synchronizing that information out so you don't have to do that. And when you create a local user that way, it will be available to all nodes in this cell. Okay, so basically for tracing now, what we have the new VMM classes. We call them VMM classes. The class names are com.ibm.ws.wim. These, if you're having problems, basically, we have that, and we have the com.ibm.wsspi.wim and the com.ibm.webster.wim. We would add these trace strings in with your normal security traces. And one other thing, let's go really quick, just the com.ibm.ws, anything that with Webster, that any classes we have that are WS like that, or internal classes that generally aren't exposed with an external API, anything with com.ibm.websphere spelled out is an external API that you do have access to. So we usually want to run with both of these to be able to see everything in WIM and security. Okay, and go on to the next page. A couple common errors that we do see. Can't do is user group management. You have to be in the administrative role. You won't be able to even see these in if you're a monitor or operator roles in the console. Another thing that we do see that also happens in just a standalone LDAP is if you leave the base entry in the repository blank, just like leaving the base DN blank, maps to the root of the LDAP tree, and you can see performance issues for something like that. Okay, and just goes over that the built-in file-based repository is not local OS. The federated repository isn't going to use a local operating system users. They're going to have to be added into this in the file-based repository. Okay, and actually, one other thing I don't have on here is if you have multiple LDAPs inside the federated repository, a user ID for a user has to be unique. We'll see this where people will have an LDAP server, and then you will have a basically a clone of that LDAP server, which would be used for failover. Well, if you add that clone also into as a separate repository, we search through the first one, we find a user. We search through the second one, we find the user. And then we'll come back and we'll have an error that says there was multiple users found and we won't allow it to log in. There can only be a single instance of any one user in all of the repositories, file-based, any of the LDAPs. You can only come upon a user one time. When we do start searching, we have to search through every single repository. We won't go to the first one, find the user, and then stop and say, okay, we have him. We have to be able to continue through all repositories, and then we'll come back from the search with that user. And if there's multiple users, we will throw a very specific error saying that because we can't continue on at that point. Okay, and I guess we're to the point where if there's any questions.
Hi. I have a, like say, he said the user has to be unique. What, is it searching for the disabled or all kind of users? Or sorry, enabled or all kind of users? Like, you know, we have two repositories and we are migrating the users. So there are some users disabled in one repository, and same thing is to the other repository. So,
well, it would really depend. I mean, you can see, would if you queried the LDAP where that user is disabled,
mm-hmm.
Say using just an LDAP search tool, would it return that user information? That's really the key. Is we're going to go to each LDAP server, and we're going to send out a query for that username. And if it returns the information of that user,
mm-hmm.
We don't know. I mean, we don't know internally to the LDAP server if that user can log in or can't log in, really.
Right. But like with the standalone LDAP registry, I mean, if the user is disabled, I get a failure message saying that user. Either, I mean, the ID or password is invalid or credentials are not valid.
Right.
What if I have, like, two LDAP and in one LDAP I have the user's account is disabled and the other one I have, it's enabled? It's the same user ID. So, I mean, the uniqueness of user, is it affecting this scenario or?
It probably would. More than likely what's going to happen is because we're going to see that user. In the case where you're saying it's coming back, you're getting an LDAP error code 49 more than likely.
Oh, okay.
Where we find the user in the repository and we try to authenticate it, and then the LDAP server comes back and says, well, yeah, he's here, but the password's not good. Or they don't really tell us why. LDAP error code 49 is pretty general, but it's usually, it can be an account locked or something like that. But the user still exists. Is what the problem is.
Okay, got it.
So in that case, yeah, you would probably run into that same user twice, and it wouldn't work.
Okay.
Just because we still see the user in the first place.
Right. Is there a way to set up what each my search string will search for, like, you know, only enable user or some sort of filter that I can set?
Not if the usernames are the same.
Oh, okay.
Username and the base DN are the same, then it's gonna come back twice.
Okay. Got it. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Question.
What happens if one of the user repositories is not available? If the admin console to add users to group, which repositories will this user group be sent or written?
Okay. You sounded kind of distant there. I had a hard time hearing that. Is basically the question is when you add a user group to the admin console, where is it going to be added?
Yep.
By default, it's going to go to the file-based repository.
And if there's no file-based repository, if it just has two different LDAPs, for example?
It will try to write it to one of the LDAPs.
Random order or a specific order?
I don't know that off the top of my head. Give me one second. I'm gonna have to find that out. I think it would go. In the order that they're listed in the repository.
Okay.
But I'd have to double check that by default. There may be a way to specify that I.
Okay. And
not quite sure on the underlying mechanics of how we're doing that.
Okay. What happens if one of the LDAPs is read-only? Is this a problem for the federated repository whole? Of course, it cannot write to it, but if we have a federated repository, because one of our customers, we have two repositories, one is read-only and the other one would be read-write capable. Would this cause a problem in using federated repositories?
No, you should be able to, read only is fine, as long as you're not trying to create users out there.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the presentation and the answering the questions.
Our next question comes from Yude Tadikunda.
Hey, we have a question here, like, can we have multiple file-based repositories on the same, we have a base installation, we don't use network deployment.
I I've never set it up. I'm not exactly sure why you would need multiple file-based repositories.
Okay. The reason is we'd like to keep the admin users and the regular users in separate repositories. And in a development environment where we don't have an LDAP, we'd like to keep two file repositories.
Okay. Give me 1 second here. I just wanted to check really quick. I'm 90% sure.
Yes.
That is possible.
Okay, and we looked up in the info center, or we didn't find any examples. If you have any, can you please send us in our email address?
Yeah, if I can get that, I can find that out for sure. Okay. Do we have? I'm sorry. What's your name again?
It's Uday Tharikonda. I'm from Prudential. It's uday.tharikonda@prudential.com.
Okay. I can find that out, and I can give you guys an email.
Sure. Thank you.
That information, just to verify for sure, and I'll see if I can find anything on how to set that up.
Okay.
At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the Webster Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Richard, for presenting today.